pledge the first day. You know I'm bound. Alan wouldn't have to get so hoarse. But
and horse he got, but the fun drive is over, and thank you, everybody. Thanks, Natalie. Thanks to everybody who called in. Now it's time for a truncated version of Vox Pop, and today it's a Food Friday. We welcome Holly Shelowitz of Nourishing Wisdom, who is here to discuss immune-boosting foods with us. Holly's ready to answer your cooking and nutrition questions in this brief amount of time we have. Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551 is the number. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, that number is 800-348-2551. Holly's a certified nutrition counselor, culinary nutrition educator. Over 22 years, Holly has been teaching people how to harness their body's own preventative and healing powers with food, herbs, and lifestyle. She's regularly on Zoom and at libraries and farmers markets when there isn't a pandemic. Once again, the number is 800-348-2551. It's been a while. Holly Shelowitz, welcome back.
Thanks, Ray. Great to be here.
Now, you were on, I think, on the phone at the very beginning of this pandemic, weren't you?
Yeah, it was right around the turn. Well, it was kind of mid-pandemic, I suppose, because it was right around the turn of the new year.
Well, I tell you, it is great to have you back. How have you fared? How have you been?
Thank you. I'm faring well. Thank you. Goodness. And grateful for that. Spending lots of time outside. I hope everybody else is too. And moving with the times of change here.
You know, it surprised me, and we'll get to the phone calls when they come in, 800-348-2551. It surprised me that a health nut like Alan Shartok would question me about, are there foods that can help your body increase your immune and fight illness and to be better? But this is what you do, Holly Shelowitz. Tell us some of the basics.
Okay. This is what I do, and there are lots of easy ways for people to really increase their immunity and boost their immunity. The very first thing is to drink lots of water, and especially squeeze some fresh lemon, fresh lime in there, and especially first thing in the morning. So many people believe that they're drinking plenty of water, and then when they start tracking it, they realize they're not drinking very much. And so that's the very first thing I suggest.
I mean, there's plenty of water in coffee, right? So when I get up, I have a few. No? Am I wrong?
Well, there is water in coffee, and I'm going to say it doesn't count.
Why?
Because, well, coffee is fine for those who love it, but it's actually dehydrating. And so I actually encourage clients, students, and everyone to... If you're drinking coffee, then you actually need to increase your water intake because coffee causes your body to hold water.
You're kidding me.
I know. Sorry, I'm not kidding you.
So, Holly Shelowitz, this is breaking news. You do not have coffee at all in the morning?
I do not. No, I have. That has never been a thing that I've done.
Really? I have never met anyone like that in my entire life.
Yeah, I have natural energy, and I do all other kinds of things in the morning. Like, I do celery in the morning. I make my green smoothies, and those give me the energy that I love to have.
Hang on, Holly. Now, I know that you know what you're talking about, and you were a fantastic guest the first time, but you're not going to sell me on the restorative powers at 6 a.m. of celery compared to a cup of coffee. Explain.
Okay, so obviously the caffeine in coffee helps to run the world, right?
Right.
However, over time, when someone's drinking coffee, lots of coffee every day throughout the day, because that is where so many people get their energy from, it can really pull from your adrenals and your kidneys. And so you're using your body's reserves for energy instead of actual energy that your body is summoning up. Now, I know that people love their coffee, and I would not for a moment tell you or everyone else to give it up. What I would say, though, is to drink at least a 16-ounce glass of water with a squeeze of lemon before you drink your coffee so that you're hydrating your body from the hours of sleep the night before. You're waking up your cells, you're waking up your digestion, your liver, gallbladder. And then if you want to have coffee, you know, 20 minutes after that, do that thing.
Okay. You know what? That sounds like a reasonable response. Holly Shelowitz is our guest. Holly is a certified nutrition counselor and culinary nutrition educator. And I know you have cooking classes. Are they back going in person?
No, I'm staying on Zoom right now. I'll do some outdoor events, but for the most part, all of my classes right now are online. And so everybody gets to be in their own kitchens and we all cook together. And to be honest, it's been fantastic because I live in the Hudson Valley. And so instead of only being able to work with my local county, now, you know, people in Vermont, Connecticut, California can join the classes, and it's been really, really fun.
You know, it's funny. I've talked to many people on this show who have said the same thing. My cooking classes have gone remote, and it has opened up a new world, and I guess it probably keeps your overhead down a little bit, too, so that's not a bad thing. Do you ever, though, you're looking at people's kitchen, Holly Shelowitz, who doesn't drink coffee and who has celery at 6 a.m., do you ever look in there and you say, oh, Jimmy, I see the box of ho-hos on the counter there. What are you doing?
Well, thankfully, I'm so busy cooking in my kitchen that all I can really see is what people will let me see of them at their counter. So don't worry. I'm not judging anyone's kitchen at all.
Well, you're not a harsh judge then. That's good.
Holly, not at all.
Holly Shelowitz joins us. You know what? You might be, well, not the first. I think there were maybe two or three during the entire 14 months that we have had remote guests on this program. But you might be the second or third person to actually send food to this program. So for that, I thank you. It looks really, really delicious. What is it?
Okay, so I made these... Don't laugh, Ray.
What?
I made broccoli croquettes.
Oh, cool.
And they are delicious. And what's amazing about them, not only are they tasty, but we are actually using the stalk of the broccoli, which so many people throw away.
Yeah.
You know, you buy the broccoli. If you're not buying only the crowns, it comes with the stalk. And so these broccoli croquettes use the crowns of the broccoli as well as not wasting food, and you're turning what would be waste into delicious food. And so, and then the sauce that I made for you guys is like an onion dip, and it tastes like sour cream, but it's actually made from cashews.
It looks delicious, and the croquettes look delicious, too. Now, I must confess that if I were a broccoli guy, I'd be just florets. But frankly, I don't eat either one. But here we go. Let's try it. The first time.
You got to try it.
In at least...
Oh, we're doing it live on the air. I love it. Oh, my God. Fingers crossed.
What could go wrong, Holly? Hang on a minute here. Here, you tell us about how to get to your website while I chew and turn my mic off.
Okay, sounds good. So my website is nourishingwisdom.com. And there you can find all about my nutrition counseling and cooking classes. And there are some recipes on there as well. And you can join my tribe. You'll see it right on the front page. And I've got lots of goodies to send you.
I kid you not. And I am not, you know, I'm fairly frank. Like if there's something on this show, like the lady who brought the eel that was looking back at me and I wouldn't touch it on the show. I'm fairly frank if I don't like it, but I got to tell you, Holly, it's delicious. And I'm a croquette fan. Every Thanksgiving, I will say, look, we got this leftover turkey, make croquettes. And my wife will say, that's a 12-hour job to make croquettes. But I'll keep pestering her until she does it. And you know what? This has a really meaty, delicious taste. And the sauce... Explain to me this sauce again. There's no cream in this, and it's really great.
There's no cream.
It's delicious.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so happy that you like it. Well, what's magical about this cream is that cashews, just your ordinary, beautiful, raw cashews, when they're soaked and blended, can make phenomenal dressings and dipping sauces. And a lot of people think that it's dairy. I wanted to tell you guys in advance just to make sure nobody had any nut allergies up there.
No.
But I wanted to kind of see if you could tell if it was not actually sour cream, but it was, you know.
Yeah, you should have done that. There are so many nuts in this building that if there was a nut allergy, I think everyone would be dead. But it's it's tremendous. The sauce is great. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll talk about some other things that can help harness your body's own preventative and healing powers. Holly Shelowitz is here. It's a brief Vox Pop, but if you want to call, lines are open, 800-348-2551. You know, a long time ago, before the world ended, that guy played at the Linda, John Harrington, who was Steely Dan's lead guitar player, and that was from his solo record from several years back. It's Vox Pop on WAMC, which is not a music show. It's a food show today on a Food Friday. Holly Shelowitz joins us. She made broccoli croquettes with the cashew onion cream that really isn't sour cream, and pretty good work, Holly Shelowitz. What else are you cooking up lately?
So many things. Let's see. Today, I actually made, I love making these sheet pan suppers or sheet pan lunches, really, where you put everything on a sheet pan that cooks in about the same amount of time. And so today, there's chicken thighs and mixed colored peppers and zucchini and broccoli that all went into the oven, all cooked together, pull it out, and I've got lunch as soon as our show is over. And I love seasoning it with some fresh lemon, because you know I'm a fan of lemon.
Yeah.
And this has like a Middle Eastern combination of lemon and cinnamon and turmeric and paprika and salt. And all of those spices and foods also happen to be highly immune boosting foods.
All right. In what ways? I guess these are the things that I would like to learn more about.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So, similar to what I said about the lemon, when you're drinking fresh lemon water in the morning, it's waking up your body, it's supporting your organs. So what immune boosting means is that the foods that you're eating are naturally anti-inflammatory, so they help to remove inflammation from the body, and we all benefit from that. And so herbs and spices, both fresh and dried, really have that ability to be like gently cleansing and naturally removing inflammation. And so the choices that you're making with the vegetables, the spices, the herbs, and everything else that you're eating can really be incredibly supportive and immune boosting.
I mean, how did you develop it? This is science and art. And how did you sort of get into this angle of things as you were getting into cooking?
I love that you said that. Science, it is science and art. Yeah, that was beautiful. Thank you for saying that.
Well, there's a first.
So, you know, for many years, since I've had my business over 22 years, and I actually grew up with a mom that really taught us about healthy eating, although I was a bit resistant, I'll be honest.
Yeah,
I
most
got
kids
out
are.
To the candy store whenever I could. But in general, I was cooking with her in the kitchen and with my dad on Sunday mornings. But that was more fun for me. The immune boosting part really started to happen soon after I graduated from nutrition school, because I realized that that the foods that we eat directly affect how we feel. The best way to tune into that is that I think everybody has had the experience where you eat something and you don't feel very well afterwards.
Yeah.
And then maybe another time you try it again and you have a similar reaction. And so the body works in the opposite way as well. So there are foods that you eat where your body is like, oh, this is so great, where it gets your pipes moving, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
And that's an important part of immune boosting. It's like we want to be eliminating on a regular basis, really every day. And so the foods that we eat can really support that or can prevent that. And then for many, many years, I would send out emails to my newsletter right around the autumn when the season of sugar started, like right before Halloween. I would start sending immune boosting foods newsletter because I said, okay, you know, the season of sugar is about to begin.
Yes.
It starts with Halloween and it moves into the holidays and then it moves into Valentine's Day and then Easter, Passover, you know, so every one of those holidays features, you know, a lot of sugar and a lot of food. And it's all in a very positive, you know, there's fun, there's celebration, usually, except for this year, but in general. And so boosting our immunity as we get into the colder weather, as you're eating perhaps more sugar than usual, you want to also really balance that out. So the art of it is having creativity and fun in the kitchen and making dishes where you're using literally all the colors of the rainbow.
And
so you're eating lots of go ahead.
You go ahead. You finish that thought.
So you're eating lots of greens. You're eating butternut squash. You're eating different colored peppers, whatever vegetables you enjoy, that you just really have a variety and that you're preparing them in different ways, both like raw, cooked, roasted, sautéed. And a lot of people can get into a food rut and end up eating the same things every day. And that's where my cooking classes have always been hand in hand with my nutrition practice, because it's one thing to say to someone, okay, it's really important to eat healthy. And then they'd be like, okay, great. How do I do that? And so bringing fun and creativity into your experience of cooking makes it like something you're looking forward to and that you're actually planning, like, ooh, what am I going to make today?
But, I mean, there are challenges, right? I mean, no one really ever said, oh, having kale is fun, right? That would be a tough one.
I say having kale is fun.
Oh, cut it out.
You have to know how to cook it.
Oh,
you
really?
Got to know how to prepare it.
Okay.
Because, you know, kale on its own, you know, it's a little rough. But when you saute it with some garlic and some olive oil and a little salt, and you cook it long enough so that it's not chewy, and you cut it in small pieces so they're not like big pieces that you can't chew, that's an entirely different experience than the opposite. And then similarly, I always call spinach a gateway green.
That I love it.
That you can use spinach. It has no taste. It has all the nutrition, so many vitamins, minerals, nutrients, chlorophyll. You can throw that in your smoothie. It will turn it green. But, like, it has no taste. You can pop it into your salads. You can, you know, the only tricky bit is when you cook spinach, it cooks down so much that you need to use a lot of it. So I'd like to use that gateway green more raw, you know, using it raw.
Absolutely.
So it's really just a matter of knowing how to prepare vegetables so that they taste delicious to you.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, we only had half a show, and really not even that, Holly, but we have to take a couple of calls here. I wanted to talk about, you know, foods that might increase one's well-being and feeling of good nature. I've been accused of being cranky the last few decades, and I thought maybe something would. But let's go to the phones first. I'll let you think about that. Jim and Adams.
Good.
Jim, you're on. Hey, Jim, you got to turn the radio down, Daddy-O.
Okay, man.
Go.
Hey, Ray.
Hey.
I was wondering if your guest could tell us if there's some additional nutritional boost by using the stems of the broccoli as well as the florets and the croquettes or not.
Oh, great question. So I would say nutritionally, you're definitely increasing your fiber.
Definitely.
But here's what's important. And in fact, you have to, on the outside of the stalks is a really woody kind of thick outer skin. And so it's really important to steady your knife and your cutting board and cut along or use a good peeler to peel the outside of those stalks so that you're removing that really woody, tough part. And I have the recipe and how you can make it. You know, I'm sure we'll announce it in a little bit. but you just make sure that you slice the outside. But really, the nutritional benefit is increased fiber and then all of the other nutrients that the crowns and florets have.
Hey, Jim, we're
all
gonna
the minerals. Yeah.
Keep it very, very short here. We only have a few minutes left. Holly, once again, what is your website and how do people get in touch with you?
Okay, the website is nourishingwisdom.com. And I have the recipe of these croquettes.
Beautiful.
They're right on the front page. You could join the tribe. You'll get my 5 easy ways to boost your immunity. You'll get these recipes and all good stuff.
Am I part of the tribe now? Because I like them.
You're part of the tribe.
Yay! All right, this email from David. Do you have a favorite brain food recipe to support neurological health?
Yeah. I'm going to say, of course, I need to know a little bit more about that, but in general, neurological health, there are some specific foods that are really helpful for that, and one is lion's mane mushroom, and a lot of growers in our area are growing it now, and so you can find lion's mane. It's a beautiful mushroom. It actually looks like cauliflower. Doesn't even look like what you would think a mushroom looks like. And you can slice it and saute it with onions, garlic, a little soy sauce, some broccoli and other greens. So that's one food that's definitely supportive for your brain. Other mushrooms as well, like medicinal mushrooms. Reishi mushroom is great. Shiitake mushrooms, definitely greens. All the leafy greens, all the green vegetables. That's what's coming to mind right now.
Okay, 2 minutes left. It was a short show with Holly Shelowitz. Let's go to Linda in Altamont. Linda, you're on.
Hi, I just wanted to know, is tap water or bottled water better, or are they both the same?
Good question.
Great question. It truly depends on where you live and what the water source is. And so the best response, the best way to do it is to actually have your water tested and make sure that, you know, if you're getting county water, you're often also getting a lot of chlorine and fluoride, sometimes depending on where you live. And some well water can have some bacteria and heavy metals in it that we don't want too much of in our bodies. When it's bottled, of course, the bottles are plastic, and how long have they been in the plastic, we don't know. I certainly have, I certainly drink plastic bottled water as well, but I would say you have to check your water and have it tested, or use a simple charcoal filter or a Berkey filter.
What's a Berkey filter?
A Berkey filter is probably the best water filtering system, I think, is, and it's not connected to the whole house water. It's... Oh, you just need counter space for it, though, because it's like a it looks like a coffee urn. So it's not exactly great for small kitchens, but it really makes a difference. And you literally manually pour the water into the Berkey filter, and it filters out so many of the things that are common in water. And if you did your research, it really is the finest quality filter, but I think, that we could get.
Don't you need some of the minerals and such that are in the water normally?
Yeah, we definitely do. And sometimes there could be other stuff in there we may not necessarily want. But yes, and it doesn't take the minerals out.
Right.
It doesn't remove the minerals.
By the way, Holly Shelowitz, this was quick. We're done. Kathy writes in, you can make broccoli stem pickles. Did you know that?
I did not know that, but of course that makes perfect sense.
Well, I tell you what, you have a standing offer here now. You got the short end of the stick here with a 20-minute program. We would love to have you back. We'd love to have you come to the studio at some point. So we'll try to make that happen. Once again, Holly, your website?
My website is nourishingwisdom.com.
Great job. Always great to talk to you, and we will talk to you soon. Support comes from Big Y, a local family-owned and operated market serving communities in Massachusetts and Connecticut for 85 years with local produce and products, meat and seafood, BigY.com. Cafe Capriccio, Albany, New York, the Rua family serving Albany since 1982, now offering catering options with their Cafe Capriccio To-Go menu, cafecapriccio.com for information. At the Barn at Egremont Village Inn, presenting James Maddock and Brian Mitchell on Friday, May 28th. Saturday night, James Maddock and Aaron Comis. Sunday, May 30th, Hot Sauce, theegremontbarn.com. Well, once again, thanks to Holly Shulowitz for being here. Thank you for listening. Once again, thanks to everybody who chipped in during the fun drive. Thanks to Jordan Yuxall, who took the calls, our producer, Jackie Orchard. I'm Ray Graff. Have a splendid weekend. We'll see you Monday at 2.